Have a detail on the $5 here, and just how much it took in that particular period, and how much, what were the expenditures, and that's.
I think that's reasonable. That's a reasonable thing.
Yes?
This is Roy Hobley.
Okay.
As a member of that board, and I am a member of the Board of the Friends of Commission, I don't think that's an inordinate request at all. If you'd like, I'll be happy to raise it at our next meeting.
Do you know when the next meeting is?
I do not know. It's within the next two or three weeks.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I think so, too.
Okay.
Thank you, Roy.
Yes, thank you. That would be fine. You know, we'd like to receive that along the way. Okay, anything else on that? The Nebraska Information System update. All right, there anything?
Sure. This summer, a young blind man who's very techno savvy has been working in this office and doing a great job with them, identifying some specific snags with various, the way the whole system is set up. And so I think it really is, you know, he's getting somewhere, and that's very good. They have once again delayed the go live for procurement, which I think was going to be August 1. They've delayed that again, and the access issues played a definite part in that delay. So, you know, they're taking this seriously, and you know, it's not all fixed yet, but at least they understand that they can't just go ahead and implement the system if it isn't really ready for all people to use. So that's a good thing. We have begun very limited training to the field support staff and their supervisors, just to begin learning the basics. Now, Sheila, did you sit in on one of those? Okay. Did you, Candy?
Yes, I did.
And so that was this past week. It was real basic, right?
Yes.
Okay. But just kind of, you know, because the first people that do anything with it, at least within the commission, will be those support staff in the offices. So then once it gets closer to, yes, it really is going to be implemented, then Bill Brown and Jonathan Ross, and I don't know if maybe we'll have somebody else involved with that or not, but those are the two main people, will do training for our staff, which will, you know, include the basics, and it will be based for both the screen viewers and the screen readers. So we don't have those set up yet, again, because the NIST system keeps waiting. We also are working with mainly one person in another office who's at Department of Revenue, and her job has some very important parts that, I mean, she definitely will be very much involved with the NIST system. And so Bill is working together with, or will be in touch with her supervisor to identify, you know, what the specifics are about how they're going to be using it and when they'll start and what parts of it. You know, and we can provide the training for the basic system and particularly how it works with JAWS, but each agency will actually use the system differently. And so that's why it's important to have people from her department to really, you know, be there in terms of, well, what she needs to do and how it's configured in their particular department.
Are you talking about a blind person?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, and if there's another blind person that gets another job, we'd be glad to continue with that kind of support as well. So And we've talked with other blind employees of the state throughout this whole process. For the most part, it's employees of the commission and this one other individual that have, you know, actual work that they'll need to do with using a JAWS program. And I think the biggest barrier yet is that business of the reports, which are PDF files and they are not legible. And so I believe that's the main stopper, but they're working on it. And, you know, I think they, like I said, they take it seriously, finally. It took a lot of effort and continues to take a lot of effort, but they've been really impressed with having the individual there this summer, and I think that's been really a good thing.
Now, are they paying that person?
It was wages, wasn't the first part of the summer?
No wages, but okay.
Yeah, Opportunity Knox is it's a transition program, which it's funded by the transition grant and mainly to be done as an opportunity for people at the end of their training in the center, but we've kind of expanded it beyond that as well. So it's kind of we use it more for when there's an on-the-job training, a need for OJT funds. So.
Okay. Is there anything else on that subject?
I don't have anything else on it, unless there's questions.
Okay, the next item is the survey comments. And we kind of got ourselves into a bind on that in a way, I think, because on the one hand, we said, you know, to staff people, you know, make a bunch of suggestions if you have them and that kind of thing. And then we said we're going to keep everything confidential and we'll be the only ones who look at them. Okay, well, you know, being a person who thinks that people ought to be practical whenever possible, it seemed like we ought to maybe revisit that. We've kind of had some email communication back and forth saying, you know, we needed to honor the confidentiality this time, which we certainly did. But also, we don't want to hamstring ourselves or put people in a position, you know, staff people in a position of making comments that they're going to know aren't going to go anywhere. That's ridiculous. So, I think we need to redo the thing that we say. That is, you know, I think that a lot of what we were saying to each other, one way or another, was that if people have suggestions, that as long as we don't reveal who had it, if somebody wants to make a suggestion in a confidential way, that is to say they don't want to go up and say directly to somebody, hey, I think we ought to do this, but they want the suggestion to get there, and this is one avenue that they can use, and they choose to use that one, then we need to let them know that, you know, that we will take seriously suggestions that are made, and we'll pass them along to Pearl and have that be an avenue for that. But, you know, we won't reveal names unless the person wants to, in which case they could go walk up to Pearl face to face and say, hey, this is my idea and I want you to do it. But, you know, what we're wanting is to give people opportunities for whatever way that works for them to get suggestions out or to make comments about what's going on. But, you know, we really did kind of...
Well, I mean, we said, confidential doesn't mean secret. I mean, we didn't reveal any names. If we said we're going to take all the suggestions you say and keep them to ourselves and not share them with anybody, but we said, you know, we keep them confidential. Confidential, I think, means anonymous.
Their names, yeah.
Well, it does. The part that was a problem was where we said that nobody but the commissioners would see them or whatever in that communication that we sent out. And so I think we need to strike that next year. I shouldn't have done that in the first place, but once having done it, you know, I try to be true to what, you know, what is said. So I think we have a consensus that we, that wasn't a good idea. And I think, you know, in interacting with staff people, we can make that clear. And the other thing that we talked about, but I don't think we had a vote that got reflected in the minutes last time, was reversing the order of the numbers so that we don't have, you know, five being a good thing on the and five being a bad thing on the survey. I mean, talk about, oh.
It was a mental test.
No, we're not here.
We know who's management material now, who's not.
Oh, goodness, this has been a test of who knows what. Anyway, so I think by consensus, we can do, you know, we can change that. But that's the other thing about this, the survey thing that we need to correct, and wanted to do that in a, you know, in a public way, so that when we come around to it next year, we will we'll know that we goofed and we won't do that again.
To my knowledge, there was only one person that botched it, and
yes, and I corrected.
Yeah. No, there was I think there was one person that did it, because I compiled them. I think there was one person that did it that
never undid it.
Never undid it, but it was perfectly understandable,
yeah,
what,
you know,
this person had in mind. Yeah, we got it. We figured
we just won't
it out.
Do it that way again. Okay, is there anything else on the?
There were some of the comments from it that Barbara discussed with me, and and like you folks, if there's a suggestion, we should see about whether or not to do it. And so one of the things was to have a suggestion box in the offices. So I did talk with supervisors about how to implement that, and each of them talked with their staff about how to implement that in their offices. Unanimously, and maybe there was one person who felt differently that didn't speak up, but unanimously, the staff felt that a physical suggestion box would not do the job. I mean, if I'm in the Scotts Bluff office and I write something, I know Candy's going to probably see it. I mean, I don't want her to see it. And once it gets to Lincoln, I'm going to guess maybe they'll know it came from Scotts Bluff. So it kind of would, you know, defeat the purpose of true being able to make an anonymous suggestion. And also, I believe I heard very strongly the staff said, we just tell her. We email Pearl when we think something should be different, and that's what we tell her. And that's true. I do get input and thoughts from folks all the time, which I'm glad. But I still, as I said to Barbara when we were talking, you know, if there's one person who has an important, strong thing that they really feel somehow they would feel repercussions from, and so therefore they wouldn't do it, we don't want that to happen. So we do have, within the next week or shortly after, what we're going to do is we will have a specific web address, a URL. It won't be actually a whole website, because this is all it will have on it, is this suggestion box. It will just be for staff. It'll be, when we get the website, the address, we will let staff know, and it will be accessible by staff via a password. And the only thing on it will be a suggestion form. And if you want me to have them put anything specific on that, we can. But I told Jonathan, I thought we just want it to be really, you know, any comments or suggestions you have for the commission, fill it in. And then once you hit send, it will go to the chairman of the board. But it will come from Nebraska Online. So you really will not know the source of the message. And it will be a way that staff can truly anonymously say something to you all that then you can decide what to do with.
Okay, now, would that be a mechanism for the, if people wanted to do anonymous, you know, filling out of like the survey or the, you know, the things that we've done, or is that an input form type thing?
It could be, we could put, there could be two things on it, the suggestion box and the annual survey. The trouble with that is the person wanting to do it that way would have to go to the to this site to do it. Maybe on your survey, when you send it out, in the top instructions, if you want to say to, you know, if you're concerned about ensuring confidentiality, instead of filling out this form, you're welcome to go to www and do it there. You know, that would be an option.
Although the one thing I'd want to, you know, so somebody doesn't like stack the ballot, stuff the ballot, that if each, you know, person had, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, and I don't know how you can make it not, you know, if they had like a, you know, each employee had some number or something, and then so that you couldn't vote more than once.
Well, you can vote, and if you send it, you can make it so it will disappear. Madam President,
or Madam Chair.
Yes.
I guess I have some problems with this, and I see what happened with the senators and a lengthy stuff that came out and nobody put names to it, who could identify with who sent it, why they sent it, or et cetera. Now, if a staff member does not feel that they can go to their supervisor, to the administrators in our office, certainly they should feel that they should come to you and be able to do that themselves, knowing that you're not going to give away their names. They can bring a problem, but you can address that problem. We are adults. When you get to anonymous messages coming across that so-and-so did this, or we think so-and-so did this, and this happened here, and this happened here, I think you're opening a bag of worms that you don't know where that's going to go. Does that really get to some of the issues that people have? If people have a problem, they should come forth and be able to tell that, and you as a board, knowing that individual and being able to respond to that individual is the way I feel that is the adult way to do that. And you can bring it to the board or bring it to meetings, the issue, without giving the person's name.
Well, hopefully the suggestion box won't be she said, he said.
I mean, if it is, as long as I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, we've talked about this as a board. I mean, anonymous, you know, he said, she said, we don't care about. But, you know, we want the suggestion box to be just, you know, suggestions about better, you know, better ways of doing things. You know, some people are more communicative. They could say, you know, Candy, this office, wouldn't you think it'd be better if we did this or that? But some people communicate. And it's just another way if we can build a better mousetrap to do it. And hopefully most people can pass the information along through channels. But if some people don't want to, and if they got a better, better mousetrap idea, that's the kind of stuff that we're looking for. But anonymous, he said, she said, that's, if that's all the suggestion box became, then we probably would do still away with it.
Yeah. I guarantee it. Because that is not something I'm interested in.
It is my experience that when people have something positive and want to grow and have new ideas, that those come forward. It's my experience that those things that they don't want to deal with and the negative types of things that he said, she said, come anonymously.
Well, like when we got the surveys back, some people had suggestions. Well, you know, let's not wait a year till the next time we do a survey. If somebody's got a suggestion, let's, you know, as soon as somebody thinks of it, let's get it into the system.
This is Pearl. I just would like to comment because I really do commend all of our staff and the deputy directors and the supervisors for working with the staff on, we're not like a lot of bureaucracies. We really do all constantly ask staff what they're thinking, for their ideas, for suggestions, and if we don't ask one day, they tell us. You know, we do get emails, we do get phone calls, and we're just, you know, maybe there's one or two people that don't feel we operate that way, but I truly believe we do operate that way, and that we do really foster and encourage involvement and active participation. So, you know, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have it in case there's just that, you know, if there's something we're missing somehow. I will check on whether there's a way, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if everybody has different passwords, if there's any, you know, anything about that, I'll check that.
That was more for the annual survey, for the suggestion box. I don't think it's necessary, but if we did, you know, the annual survey, and, you know, we, what does the NSVI have, or commission have, 60 employees or something?
52.
And we got, you know, 300 ballots, then...
That wouldn't be worth less.
Yeah, and...
Fatosh?
Fatosh?
Yeah, I really compliment you as a board to ask from the staff their suggestions and trying to make it anonymous. But I really agree with Pearl. When I brought the suggestion box to my staff, they totally laughed at me. I mean, they are so vocal. They say, we'll walk into her office and demand. I mean, so most of us are pretty much that way. And also, you know, I am sure that you are not just going to have getting one person suggesting something. I mean, if there is a number of people suggesting the same thing, probably you're going to bring to Pearl's attention. Like the suggestion box, I don't know how many people brought to your attention, but, you know, it took some of our time. You know, Pearl put it in the agenda, mm-hmm. we discussed in the supervisors meeting, we took it in our, you know, staff. It takes time. I mean, we cannot please everybody.
Yes, and we try to be mindful of that kind of thing too, you know, when we do pass along things or when we do make suggestions. And I find it, you know, personally kind of frustrating when we get something that is anonymous and it has things like, you know, if something is really highly rated and something else that seems like it's on the same vein has given a real low rating, I want to talk to somebody about that and say, well, you know, what were you thinking? Why did it, you know, are you reading this differently from how I am or interpreting it differently from how I am? And so, you know, I want us to encourage people to come up and, you know, mm-hmm. and say who they are and what they're saying so that we can interact about it, because it's a lot harder to know what to do with things like that if people don't. And so it's not that we don't take those as seriously, but sometimes we can't do as much with them because we don't know who the person is or what they meant by what they said. And so, you know, I'm certainly one to encourage the kind of thing. I'm glad that the staff is interactive and vocal, and for the most part will just, you know, person will just come up and say, hey, this is what I think ought to happen. And I think we need to encourage that. But I also think we need to not totally, you know, to make absolutely no provision for someone who is maybe just learning to be assertive and hasn't got there yet, but has good ideas.
It reminds me of the comment the guy the in 1972 that he couldn't believe George McGovern didn't win because everybody he knew voted for George McGovern. It's kind of like, you know, everybody that you talk to is, you know, everything's great and they talk to you, and well, you know, believe me, there's people out there that think differently than, I mean, I guarantee all 52 people aren't on exactly the same page.
What I'm trying to say, you know, we shouldn't come to a point that, you know, we are going to take every single person's suggestion and bring it to Pearl and to us, because that will take an incredible amount of time.
Well, if these are coming to us and we're, you know, you guys are at least being paid. I mean, we're doing this, you know, out of, you know, our commitment to the cause. So if this is non-productive, then this will not go on. I mean, this is not designed to make work for everybody. We're just kind of, you know, trying to, you know, vent a better mousetrap. And if this helps, then great. If not, then, you know, I'll be the first to say, let's go.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Eaton.
Yes.
I just want to say that I support any method of communication that people will use to bring suggestions to us. I do think we already have a wide number of ways in which people do provide us feedback. And I just, I do want to say that in general, one of the things that we've talked about in our management meetings is the fact that one thing that Pearl has always tried to instill among all of our personnel is the extent that we work in a culture of change. We've used that that expression, you know, which means that if change occurs, then all of us have some part in influencing how change happens, you know. And I think that when we've had to make some tough decisions, a lot of times the staff are able to accept that change and influence what happens because that culture is there, you know, which I think really really is a distinction that's very unique with our organization. You know, so I don't know if I haven't heard that expression used in this particular meeting, but I think it's important to know that is something that we value, you know, in the organization.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, we appreciate the effort that's been made and all the you know, all that's been done to make this a possibility, and we'll try it and see what happens. And you know, if it becomes problematic or too much or too little, then we'll think again.
Sounds good.
Okay, if there's nothing else on that, it is time for the official public comment, if there's anybody who wants to make a public comment at this point.
Candy Larson and I do okay. Have a couple things I'd like to comment on.
Okay.
As you go. First of all, I do not want the board to leave with the impression that we provided custodialism to a client or a former client in the North Platte State Office Building. The situation there was that the individual developed some mental problems, mental illness, and a situation deteriorated. And therefore, the individual, we tried to do what we could to help this individual succeed. However, the individual is no longer a client, and they have the ability to say yes or no, they want our assistance or not. When it went beyond that is when we went to the state office building saying, this is what you will need to do if this individual needs to be replaced. So that was not something that we would normally do, say, go in and let a building know that they're going to have a blind person. That is up to the blind person to do that. They are in an independent situation. So I did want to clarify that. The next thing that I would like to do is really have the commissioners take a strong look at this vending situation. This has long been something that has, I feel, would create some new opportunity for blind individuals. Although maybe some of these sites that we could do, these smaller federal sites in greater Nebraska or even in Lincoln and Omaha would not provide a living to someone, it certainly would provide a training opportunity. And it would provide maybe the impetus for them to get on with other things and start getting some of their own businesses going. I know that several of the vendors out on our end of the state did not get locations that would support them. But they are very much supported by the vending operations now because they've used a part of the vending, the VEP program, tagged on with those sites that they have gone out and gotten for themselves. It has created jobs, and we need to do whatever we can to provide and create jobs for blind individuals. The third thing I wanted to mention, I want to toot our horn out west, because we don't get that tooted very often, but at the wages program, it was a very, very successful program, and I did not get to spend a lot of time at the program, but I wanted to say that 7 out of the 12 individuals that participated in that came from the North Platte District, and I really feel that we're really on target getting our young people involved with services at an early age, and you might find those statistics different, thinking that that happens more in the city, but 7 of those 12 participants came from the North Platte District. And last but not least, I think that we need to take a very strong look at this Home Teaching Plus program. And in regard to that, I was able to go to the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Louisville, Kentucky, and looked at several other states and the way they are dealing with their seniors and programs, etc. I think that if we would take a look at the number of people that have gone through the center program and the number of people that have gone through our Home Teaching Plus program, there is a direct correlation among the successes that are out there. When I went to the VIPS convention in Kearney this year, I noticed that the people that used their canes that were successfully getting around the building, going about doing their business, etc., had not every time, but on a general rule, had either completed the center program or completed the Home Teaching Plus program. So if we are going to give our seniors the same opportunities and what have you, two other programs that I spoke with individually say that the immersion, the week, the 2-week-long programs where they are with their peers and the immersion is the way in which that comes about. So whatever we have to do to bring that back, I think is, I would like to go on record as saying I think is vital to our seniors in Nebraska. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there any other public comment?
Madam Chair?
Yes, this is...
My name is City of Hull.
Okay.
I'm with the Grand Island Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. I would like to pay you people a compliment. You have an awesome task with very little funds to operate. But I'd like to make a suggestion. I dealt with Congress since I was just a translator as a little boy for my people. I will go to sue. And my suggestion to you, that bureaucracy almost made nothing out of my people. Don't let the bureaucracy blindside you so that you lose people who you intend to serve. So far, you are in an awesome task, and I commend you for taking it on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the compliment.
It's for you and all of us that we do it. And, you know, we're very glad that you're here, and we're very glad that you have spoken up, and we appreciate any other help you can offer us. It is an awesome task, and we, the blind people of the state and ultimately of the nation or the world or whatever, are the ones who will make the most difference for ourselves. And that's why we have also worked with the legislatures and anybody else to, in the first place, create a separate entity, and in the second place, to see to it that it that does keep going, that we try to make it so that there isn't so much red tape that nobody can feel like they can ever get anywhere.
Bob Eaton?
Yes.
In response to Sydney, I will say that the commission was created because blind people wanted less bureaucracy and more control over the services that blind people receive. So the meeting that we're having today is very much an opportunity for consumers like yourself, Sydney, to talk directly to people in management, like myself.
I appreciate it.
And so we're very interested in how we can make those services better meet your needs.
I thank you for that.
Okay, is there anything else from the public? If not, we'll go on to new business. The first item is the consideration of set aside, which we already did. The next item that's listed is the election of officers on the commission board. So,
I nominate Barbara for president.
Second.
Call for the question.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh my goodness.
See, we can get, this is called executive action.
Yeah, just some things we just know.
I nominate Bill Oster for vice chairman.
Second.
Third.
Okay.
Call for the question.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
You assent?
No, you're not involved in this.
We don't give them the option.
Okay, we also have been having an executive session secretary, someone to take notes when we are in executive session.
I nominate Bob.
Second.
Okay, Bob has been nominated. Are there? Okay, well, that's...
Bill's got the cushy job.
Somebody needs to call for the question.
Call for the question.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I guess we have the same officers that we had before. So we will.
So we should have presidential elections in this country that easily. Save a lot of problems.
I have a ballot box.
Okay, the next.
Barbara's a real politician, though. She knows how to get the campaign going.
Yeah, she twisted all her arms before.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she had that to bring cookies.
Okay, the next item is the materials for the new commissioners, and we had, again, emailed some about this particular thing. What we are doing at this point is, if a person has access to the internet and has had training to use it and that sort of thing, then referring a person to the commission's website has been a real effective way for that person to get most of the materials that we pass along. Now, you know, as we get further into things, there will be other things that we'll need to try to make sure we keep track of making sure someone gets. In this case, I did send the public meeting law material to Nancy. That was something that we had received at the very beginning of our creation. And if we are going to, for instance, purchase the materials that we talked about based on that flyer that Pearl talked about, we'll need to make sure that anybody who becomes a commissioner has access to that if we discover that it's really meaningful in being able to do the job adequately. So we need to be mindful of those kinds of things. Otherwise, we are things are getting better as far as having written reports submitted by people when they come before us, so that we can have those attached to the minutes, and therefore that will be available to people too. So is there anything that we're missing or that we ought to be considering? Artist?
Would you give me the email address?
The email address to reach us? The email address to reach us is commission-board@nol.org.
Repeat that, please. I couldn't write that fast.
Oh, okay. commission-board@nol, which is NebraskaOnline.org. And the commission's website is www.ncbvi.state.ne.us. Okay, if there's nothing else on that issue, we've already talked about Newsline. At one point we were asked about suggestions for the Developmental Disabilities System grant proposal, which I think was due on the 25th of July, was it not, Bob? Is that?
Yes.
And so I hope that, was there anything that you wanted to say about that, or is it, you know, is that just kind of whatever happened already happened and we're too late if we didn't send you suggestions already?
Well, it's one of those competitions that occurs every 6 months or so. You know, some competitions are annual. This one, I think, will be up again. I believe that's true, right? I might be confusing it with another one, but certainly it would be up again next fall. So I was really kind of soliciting ideas that I might flesh out between now and next year, you know, even at the time I sent that out, I knew that I didn't have any fresh ideas, because what I tried to do the last 2 years previously was to develop something that would provide more money for supported employment, you know. And last year I asked some pointed questions and I was just flatly told, well, it's not really a new program. You're doing supported employment for people with developmental disabilities anyway, you know. So they really want something that was different from what we're already doing, you know. So, and that's what I was trying to get an idea about, and I did. One suggestion that was made some sense. Connie Daly told me that she felt that there has been several times now in her experience in which parents really felt like they were being misinformed or confused about what services were available for their children as they came out of, as they transitioned from school, you know. We're talking more kids with developmental disabilities, because they should be involved with the developmental disabilities system. They should have a caseworker with Health and Human Services, you know. You know, there's a number of linkages that need to be in place, and that's not always the case. So sometimes, depending on who you talk to, the perception of what is available is not consistent. And so Connie thought that if we were to have a workshop, you know, kind of like a regional workshop, maybe one out west, maybe one in the east, in which the different service providers were brought together in kind of the transition there, specifically for the parents of children with, or blind children with developmental disabilities, that would be a good thing, okay? She doesn't feel like we really had a transition fair specifically with that focus in the past. I mean, we've had similar things, but I think our outreach has not been, has not been successful in reaching out to the larger parent population. So I thought maybe that might be a good thing to work on. You know, we're not talking about a large grant either. We're only talking about $5,000, $10,000. You know, of course, you know that's money that could be well spent if we had if we used it in the right way. So. So that's one idea that I feel has merit, and I certainly will entertain any others, but you know, we're really kind of looking ahead to a later time now.
Well, thank you. And did anybody have any suggestions that you wanted to offer for how that amount of money could be used? I think that suggestion sounds like a good one too, as far as, you know, something that is needed. You know, there was some discussion about, you know, transportation and those kinds of things. That seems to be an ongoing kind of issue. You know, when we talk about, well, this morning,